2 Kings chapter number 8. We are finishing this series tonight. We have a brand new series that will be starting next Wednesday. And I'm praying that God would use that. The theme of tonight's lesson is the word legacy. Legacy. By definition, the word legacy is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. Something that is transmitted by. Something that is passed on. By the way, when we think of legacy, don't think of just old people. Because, you know, not everyone lives to be 92. So I was even thinking about it, and as I was preparing this, you know, even as a teenager, you should be concerned about your legacy. What am I known for? By the way, it's not because of you. It's not because of me that I should be concerned about my legacy. I should be concerned about the one I represent. So even think about it right now. If you're a teenager, a young person, you know, a lot of times legacy, that's just people when they're about ready to pass on. And what legacy am I going to leave behind? And sure, we're going to talk about Elisha and his legacy and when he passed on and there was still things that happened. But that should be something that we should be, you know, if you're saved and you know the Lord, that should be something that is on your mind. Not for worrisome, but for bringing God glory. You know, what is my legacy? What legacy am I leaving? You think about people in your life that have impacted you. Maybe a teacher in school. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a pastor in the past. Maybe a family member. Maybe it's even at Anchor Baptist. We have past church people that are with the Lord now, and they've left a legacy of different things behind. Bible characters that we read and study about as we think about the word legacy. William James said this about legacy: the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. I'm going to read that again. The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. In other words, are you spending your life on something that when you die, that's it? You know what? A lot of people, that's what they're doing. You know, even a lot of Christians, that's how they're living their life. I'm just going to run and run and run and do and earn and get and keep and stack it all up and do whatever I want to do. And then when I check out, when my appointment is done, right, it is appointed unto men once to die, then that's it. In other words, there's nothing left for my influence. My legacy ends when I die. I don't want that for my life. And it's not about Ben Turner, but it's about Jesus Christ. It's about our Heavenly Father. Here's another one. Have you ever met this guy, Mr. Anonymous? How many quotes, you know, when you read all these quotes? Anonymous. I'm going to meet that guy one of these days, okay? Maybe a lady. It could be Mrs. Anonymous, okay? Here it is. It's about legacy. What you leave as a legacy is not what is etched in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. That's so good. What am I pouring into other people? That's a legacy. I mean, I could name so many men and women that were in, even just in my life in the last 25 years of being in ministry here in this Vancouver area, that they are with the Lord now, but they are not done by any stretch of the imagination. Because their legacy, part of their legacy, I'm speaking just from my own life, part of their legacy, they etched something in me. And that's my desire. That as soon as my appointment comes and I'm gone, we talked about death on Sunday night, not really in a morbid way, but we have to think about this, that what are we doing, what are we woving and pouring into in the lives of others. So just some things to really think about as we get into this lesson. 2 Kings chapter number 8, verse 1, then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wherever so thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Verse 2, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. Talk about that later. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So she had left the area for these 7 years to survive. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha's servant, Gehazi, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. Verse 5, and it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king. It just so happened, right? There they are. For her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Then turn over to 2 Kings 13. I mentioned this miracle on the first lesson when we switched over to Elisha, about lesson 7 or 8, somewhere in there. I mentioned this miracle, and a lot of people don't know about this miracle or haven't remembered that it's there, maybe read it. But this is now, posthumously or something like that? Posthumously, there we go. Notice this, look at verse 20. And Elisha died. Okay, so legacy done, right? Not really. And they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Verse 21, this is just an incredible verse of Scripture. And it came to pass as they were burying a man. I mean, the guy's done. TKO, right? That behold, they spied a band of men. They didn't know what to do with this guy. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. Dead. Elisha's dead. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, you know, let these bones live. This is not Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones, all right? That's another song for another day, all right? He revived, not Elisha, but the man they threw in and stood up on his feet. So that's the final miracle of Elisha right there. And he doubled the miracles of Elijah with that miracle. So it's wonderful when our life continues to guide and bless others even when we're gone. We call this a legacy. We call this a legacy. And this is exactly what Elisha is used to do. In this story tonight, we see in before he dies and then after he dies, God uses him to preserve and bring forth life. In the case of the lady that needed to leave the area, the Shunammite woman and her son, and then in the case of the dead man. So let's look at this by the outline here tonight. Number one, a legacy of dependability. A legacy of dependability. It was all the way back in 2 Kings chapter 4 when Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son back to life. Now time has transpired. Don't really know how much time. But now Elisha tells this widow woman, you better move, you better leave because a famine is coming. You're not going to have anything here, but God will take care of you. And he tells her that in verse number 1 of chapter number 8. As soon as the widow woman gets the instructions from the man of God. Notice what the Bible says, and I mentioned it earlier. The Bible says, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. You know, the woman did not have the Bible in her hand. But what did the woman have? The woman had the man of God who was giving her the word of God in a sense. God was leading Elisha to tell her what to do. And so what did she do? She obeyed the man of God. She knew that he was dependable. I wonder, do people think and know that you are, that I am dependable? Like if we say we're going to be somewhere, do we have a legacy of being there? Or do we have a legacy of, well, I don't know, they might show up. Who knows? Okay, this lady knew that when Elisha said, go and leave, she's going to go and leave. I mean, to me, it's a powerful illustration that she was trusting him that much. I mean, you and I, we read the story and we like, oh, this is great, but this is all after the fact. You know, think about it in the moment. I mean, some people would say, oh, I'm going to stick around and just see how it goes. No, no, no. This lady, as soon as the man of God said go, now what do we have today? We have the Word of God. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God? But you know what? So many times we struggle with reading the Word of God, and it says this is what we're supposed to do, and then we say, I don't know about that. You know what I can tell you? This book is very dependable. This book is very dependable. Everything this book says happens. Everything this book says won't happen, won't happen. It's true. It's true from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. I mean, the commas are true. The semicolons are true. All of it is true. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's dependable. And you know what? I want to be known as someone, again, this is not about the individual, but it is because we represent Christ. So if our legacy is one of not being dependable, you know what? I don't think people are going to really care about what we have to talk about. So we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us that we are dependable. Letter A, truth is constant. We can depend on the Word of God. I've said that already. We can depend on it. But saying that we depend on it is great, but when we trust and obey it, that's when the rubber meets the road. Yeah, I believe the Bible's the Word of God, but then we're not trusting and obeying. Do we really believe the Bible's the Word of God? I say, not really. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's dependable. If you're having a good day, it's dependable. If you're having what you perceive to be the worst day of your life, it's dependable. I'm thankful that when everything else, and even everyone else in our life may disappoint us, I can tell you right now, God's word will never disappoint you. Be in it, get it in you, and share it with others. God's word is dependable, and it's constant. It doesn't change. A lot of things change. I've changed in 52 years. You've changed in your life, and I'm so glad every time I open the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It never changes. I open it to Hebrews, Jesus Christ. We sang it earlier, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. It's dependable. Truth is constant. I'm so thankful. Hey, that's a great legacy to have. That's somebody who was a truthful person. They were dependable. They were truthful. Truth is constant. I wrote down here, we must pray that Anchor Baptist Church always stands for the truth. Would you pray with me about that? It's very, very much, it's very easy, it's easier to compromise. And unfortunately, there are churches today that compromise. That's between them and God. I'm not going to answer for the church down the street that compromises, but what I will answer to God for is my time as the under-shepherd of Anchor Baptist Church, and would you pray that God keeps us constant with the truth? The truth never fails. It's dependable. Secondly, truth is also contagious. It's contagious. Colds are contagious, amen? But truth is contagious, all right? It's that time of year, right? Truth is contagious. We can lead others to live a faith-led, trusting life. What does this mean? This means that when you are someone who lives constant with the truth, you are dependable, it's going to be catchy around you. You're going to get around people, and it's going to just jump from you to them. And because of your influence, and because of my influence, this is going to happen. Moses, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Moses gives some instructions here. And I want us to heed the word of God. When you heed the word of God, you're going to be in great shape spiritually. Amen. When we heed the word of God, don't just read it, heed it. What does that mean? Obey it. Pay attention to it. This is the holy word of God. And we need to give it its rightful place, and I believe you want to do that, and I do too. And I know we struggle at times with our own will and way, but look what he says in verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Notice what we see here. He says, first, you need to take the truth and you need to internalize the truth. Make it yours. You know, there's a song that we sing. It was good for my grandma. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. There it goes. There's something to that. Now, it can't be my grandmother's faith. It's got to be my faith. So I've got to internalize it for me personally. And he's talking specifically about parents here. And then not only internalize it, but then he says, diligently pass it on. Diligently pass it on. So let's think about this. Yes, this is the primary interpretation of this is if you're a parent here tonight, you should be internalizing the truth, but then it should be contagious in your home. You know, you get around your kids and they know dad's not perfect, mom's not perfect, but they believe the word of God. They go to church. They read their Bible. They're not perfect. But it gets contagious. I'll tell you, what's not contagious is hypocritical living. That's not contagious. It's contagious in the wrong way. Because if we say one thing at church, but we're living a different way at home, that's not good. Because they'll catch that too. But you don't want them to catch that cold. That's a bad cold. You want them to catch the cold that says, yes, I'm not perfect. Pray for me. Hey, I hope you ask your kids, pray for me. If you're a parent, you want to ask your kids, pray for me. I'm your mother. I want to be a godly mother. Pray for me. I'm a father. I want to be a godly father. Internalize it. But then maybe you don't have children tonight, but we can also, or children at home or whatever, but we can internalize this and say, we need to pass it on to someone else. When we're at work, we need to be known as someone who abides by the rules. We don't cut corners. We don't cheat on our taxes. We're not known as someone. We're known as someone who is truthful. So truth is constant. Trust is contagious. Go over to Judges chapter 2. So we notice what Moses said. Got to keep the conversation about the word of God. Keep speaking about the things of God, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but in the home. But notice what happened during the time of the judges. Judges chapter 2, I'm just, for time, I'm going to have us just skip down all the way to verse 10, 2:10. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. It's talking about Joshua's generation. They all passed away, gathered under their fathers. And there arose another generation after them. This is so sobering, isn't it? One generation. Not generations. A generation which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. How is that possible? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 11, and served Balaam. I mean, these are the people that should have been hearing about all the miracles. I don't know what they were hearing about, but I take this and I think, okay, what do my kids hear me talk about? Do they hear me only talk about the things of this world and the temporal things? Or do they hear me talk about the things of God? And make that application to all of our life, not just our kids, anybody. We don't have to go around and be talking about the Bible 24/7, but I guarantee you it's not that we talk about it too much. not at all. We need to talk about it more. There's no greater investment that you can make in your children's lives or the lives of anybody that you have. I'm so thankful this past Sunday, two Patch Club kids got baptized. What a blessing. To God be the glory. The work's not done. Got to pray for those kids. Even children, when they get baptized, I believe the attack is on. Anybody that ever gets baptized, you should add them to your prayer list immediately. If they're on your prayer list, keep them on there because the attack is only going to get stronger. Post-baptism. I don't know. It happens all the time. Pray for them. But it's so wonderful that we have the opportunity to teach our children the Word of God from the beginning of their existence until they're in the patch club, and then they're in the teen class, and so forth and so on. The Word of God, a legacy of dependability. In other words, the investment that we make in the lives of others about God is so much greater than a financial inheritance that we can give them. Because that financial inheritance, it's only going to last so long. I wrote this down. The investment that we can make in our children or anyone is better than any financial inheritance or anything we could ever give them. There is no comparison. That doesn't mean just, you know, waste your money and not save up, but it means what are we really concentrating on? Is our legacy going to be this million-dollar whatever, or is it going to be truth? That's something we have to really ask the Lord about. Number two, so a legacy of dependability. God, help us to be dependable. Secondly, a legacy of deeds. Teaching the Word of God, investing in others, that's great, but we should be prepared to help others in a tangible way. You know? Like that one verse in the Bible that just says, you know what? Be filled, you know? I can't remember what it is, but you know, somebody's hungry and you just tell them, well, get full. Well, that doesn't work for me. You know, if my wife were to ever say to me, you know, it's 6:30 and I'm saying, you know, hey, it's 6:30. You know, what time's supper around here, you know? I don't do that. But if she were to say, well, if you're hungry, just get full. I'd think, man, did you bonk your head last night? That's not how it works. You don't just tell me get full and I'm full. So we need to be tangibly helping people, like what Elisha did here in 2 Kings 8. And now she comes back, and Elisha ensures that everything she left behind is restored to her. Verses 4 to 6, we read that earlier. So it ought to be our daily way of living, helping others. Can we look at a verse or two? Acts 10, please. Would you go over there quickly? Acts 10. Let's live like Jesus. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? I'm telling you, I want to. I'm not saying I have a want to, but it always doesn't work out that way. Would you pray for me? Because sometimes I live like me. That's not good. I need to live like Jesus, not like me. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Look at what it says in Acts. I'm all over the place here. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And notice these next five words. This is Jesus in the flesh, meaning he had his flesh body on, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Who went about doing what? Good. There's our motto. Let's go about doing good. Let's go about doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, we don't earn our salvation by doing good, but we should engage in doing good as a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Legacy. Boy, I can't get over this. Honestly, this word has been in my heart and mind, a legacy. What is my legacy going to be? Is it going to be temporal, or is it going to be eternal? When I die, is it going to even matter? It's not about me dying, but it's about who we represent. So when we die, our legacy should not end. It should just go right on in the lives of those who we have poured ourselves into. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. How many of you have believed in God and you're saved tonight? Raise your hand. If you're believing in God and you're saved, raise your hand. Okay, you know what that means? You should be, and I should be, regularly doing good. It should be natural, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Not because I'm to be saved, but because I am saved. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, look at that. Isn't that a great statement, Titus 3:8? It's good and profitable. We should be good and profitable to other people everywhere we go. Normally, it's the other way around, okay? We want people to be profitable to us. But let's reverse that. Let's do our best to look for ways to be good and profitable. And so when our deeds, how do our deeds help this process of a legacy? Okay, letter A, deeds have a lasting impact. Deeds have a lasting impact. If somebody was kind to you, you don't forget it. Now, when somebody's not kind, you probably don't forget that either. But let's just not talk about that, okay? When somebody is kind to you, you don't forget it. I mean, you remember it forever. I mean, I could take you in my office tonight, and I could. There are so many trinkets in there. And to me, those are kind gestures when people give me something from traveling or wherever. And I mean, Colton, I've talked his ear off the last few months about all the different things here and there. But you know what? These little things of kindness, that's a legacy. That maybe some of those people that have given me those things, they're in that great cloud of witnesses. I'm just using that as an example. Kindness is something that carries on. Kindness, as we give to others, we can assume that the kindnesses we give to others may similarly be meaningful to their lives. Because we love the things that are kind, so therefore, conversely, that would be the same as well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That means unsaved people. Because then he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So not just excluding lost people. We need to do good to lost people. But we should really be doing good to the people that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great testimony. They have a lasting impact. You've heard the term paying it forward. Maybe that's happened to you before, going to the drive-thru somewhere, and somebody says, oh, well, they just paid for yours, and then maybe you pay for the one. I mean, this is something that, so I don't know who started it, but it's a neat thing that we can do good to others. But think about it in our life. That's how we're going to be living our life, paying it forward, if you will. Our treatment of others, especially when they're in need, it shows that we have a love for Christ, because we're not helping people because of them. Honestly, we should be helping people because of Christ. That's our motivation. How many of you know the name Dr. Jonas Salk? Jonas Salk. How many of you know about polio? Polio. Well, Dr. Jonas Salk is the one who invented the cure, if you will, for polio. Salk's belief in his vaccine safety led to successful trials, reducing polio from 45,000 to 910 in only a few years. But see, this is the most remarkable part of it. He refused to patent the vaccine. He ensured it reached as many people as possible. So it wasn't about the money. And we could talk about that today, but we won't go that direction. But here's somebody who did something kind, and it made a big difference. So deeds have lasting impact. B, letter B, deeds have lasting inspiration. Just like trust is contagious, when we see others doing good, we are inspired to do the same. It's contagious. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Paul is using the Macedonian Christians as an example to the Corinthian Christians. He's saying this is what they're doing over in Macedonia. That's what you could be doing here. That Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. It inspired other people. So a legacy of deeds can have a lasting impact, but it can also inspire others. Lastly, tonight, we see that there's a legacy of dedication. Dedication. Again, the miracles of Elisha, and the most amazing one happens when he dies, that even his bones were dedicated. He was so dedicated, it went right down to his bones. We have the same opportunity, only in a greater way, to help people be brought to life, spiritually speaking. You have that. We have that. sharing the gospel, planting seeds, watering seeds, praying for our missionaries, giving gospel tracts out as we have opportunity. D.L. Moody was somebody who really wanted people to hear about the Lord and be saved. While in England, D.L. Moody heard a man by the name of Henry Varley say this. Some of you have heard this quote. "The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is totally yielded to him." Moody was so overcome by that statement that he said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." And he fully surrendered himself to the Lord. Now, he had nothing on God, like Paul or whoever, like you or I. But God used Moody, and it is said, I don't know the statistics, whether they be completely accurate or not, but it is said that he preached to over 100 million people. Think about that. That's not in an internet time. And this was in Europe. This was in the United States. Thousands and thousands of people saved. But see, God has entrusted you and God has entrusted me with the same gospel that he entrusted with D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, and many others. God has entrusted us with this gospel. And we as believers have the opportunity to bring life. We're not doing the saving. We're not doing that. But we have to deliver the message. Romans chapter 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's our responsibility. We are indebted to take the gospel. Is that part of your legacy? Think about it. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but when it comes to all the judgments that are coming, but I know they're coming, we have a little bit of an idea. But even I wonder if before that and we pass on and somebody finds out, oh, did you know so-and-so was a Christian? And that person says, you know, they never said that. They never told me anything about that. You know, God help us that that's not our legacy. Hopefully our legacy is not that. Hopefully the legacy is, oh yeah, I knew he was a Christian. He prayed for me. She prayed for me. She invited me to church and da-da-da-da-da. I'm just using a hypothetical illustration, okay? Because I don't think it's so much hypothetical. I think it's actually really happens. May God help us to have a legacy of someone who speaks of Christ. I'm not talking about cramming it down people's throats, but I'm talking about that we have the joy of the Lord and we are struggling. Yes, we are going through challenging times. Yes, but we ask people, how can I pray for you? You know, our church has a prayer meeting. How could we pray for you? Leave a legacy of someone who loves the Lord, but because you love the Lord, you love people. Whether it be your own family, of course, starting there, working your way out. Letter A. Is a dedication to godliness. A dedication to godliness. The way that I spend my time, the way that we spend our talent, the way that I spend and you spend your treasure is an indicator of our priorities. Honestly, we don't even have to talk. If somebody watches us for a little while, they're going to know what our priorities are. Because our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And that's true. May God help us. Romans 14, verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We must be a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about that. When I make and when you make living for Christ a great priority, we will live with purpose and we will live faithfully for the glory of God. We will live on and with purpose. Every day is a life of purpose as a believer. May God help me, may God help you that we strive to live that way. We don't waste an opportunity. Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourself unto God. What a great legacy. That person was yielded to God. I know they were. Dedication to godliness. Letter B, dedication to goodness. Dedication to goodness. Elijah's good reputation is evident through the biblical narrative in our text, Elisha. In this passage, we see that he was highly respected by the king. And by his own servant. Is this the one? Right? they said, oh, well, here is the one. The king said, okay, fine. You can have all your land back. Why? Because they had a good legacy. Even while he was alive, he had a good legacy. He had a good testimony. Human righteousness falls short, though, of God's standard. So again, this isn't about us living in such a way that it is above the standard of God. It's impossible to do in these bodies of flesh. The Bible even says in Isaiah that our righteousness is as a filthy rag. And so I'm thankful tonight that we have a loving God who sent Jesus Christ to redeem us, to buy us back, to sacrifice his body on the cross, to bleed and die, that we might be saved. May these type of things that we know in our Bible, that we read in our Bible, continue to challenge us to live a life that our legacy is one of pointing people to Christ and not away from Christ. It is a dedication to goodness. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So Elisha's legacy, it's spelled out for us in the Bible. Your legacy, my legacy, it's not going to be in the Bible. The Bible's finished. It's the finished work of God. But we still have a legacy that we're leaving behind. What is your legacy? What is my legacy? May it be a legacy. May it be a legacy that says that individual, they weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They weren't perfect. But they loved God. They wanted to live for God. And you know what? Because they loved God, they loved people. Again, this isn't about making a name for Ben Turner, but it's about making a name for the God, for the Savior that we represent. I'm an ambassador, not for Anchor Baptist Church. You're an ambassador, not for Anchor Baptist Church, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this final lesson, the word legacy, I pray that you and I would meditate on it and think about it and ask God to help us, that for his glory, we would leave a legacy behind that is pleasing to him. The world may have an idea. Now, this is a legacy you want to leave behind. I mean, 6 NBA titles. What a legacy. Never losing one. Michael Jordan, that's a legacy. He's got a legacy. But he's got several other things in his legacy that aren't so appealing. I'm just picking on him, all right? I followed him when I was a teenager, all right? I've got tons of his sports cards. I've got his autograph, even on a magazine, written to me from Michael Jordan with my name, too, Bender. I mean, what is that? I mean, it's going to burn up. But when I got that in the mail, man, I'm telling you, that was fired up on that thing. Some friends of mine got that for me. But you know what? What kind of legacy is that? Well, it's important for a lot of people, millions of people, lots of money, lot of fame. But what about eternity? What about eternity? Let's pray. Heavenly Father.